Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Every time I go out with my married friends, if a beautiful woman walks by, one of them will go, "Ooh, man, if I wasn't married, if you weren't married, what?" I knew you when you weren't married. You weren't getting that. That's why you got married. Are you going to go not get her number like you used to when you weren't married?
Orny Adams on the Adam Carolla Show.
Filmed at the El Portal Theater, my old theater, my old neighborhood theater when I was growing up in North Hollywood. Very funny. Nice job, Orny Adams, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
More Than Loud's name is special. It's available now on Showtime. It's been out for a little bit, but you can go check it out again. It's his third special. Also got dates coming up. Irvine Improv, that is Thursday, December 13th through Sunday, December 16th, weekend there. Wilbur Theater. We love the Wilbur Theater in Boston. That's January 12th, and you get tickets and dates at OrnyAdams.com.
That's where I'm from, Boston. That's where I picked that date. That's not like the next, those aren't my next, obviously I'm doing stuff in between.
Sure.
Now in January, believe it or not.
Yes.
But those were dates that I really wanted to push. Those are two of my favorite clubs to work, Irvine Improv, and I've never played the Wilbur.
I have. I think maybe.
And we did.
I may have done it alone once, and I think we've done a podcast there.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar, and it's a great old Boston theater.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, you should
be. I'm excited if it sells out. If it doesn't sell out, I'm humiliated. I'm like you doing donuts in the middle of a road race or whatever that was.
Embarrassing. Yeah, well, now at least I know where the limit is. the thing about, for it's like the Wilbur and the Wiltern. The Wiltern is my theater. I grew up out here.
Yeah.
The craziest thing to do is to play the theater you pass by a million times.
Right.
Or saw a show at, you saw BTO play there in 1979, and yeah. It seemed like such a huge, and the notion that you would be on the marquee and you would
stars.
Play there, it's a big deal when you come from that hometown, right?
Yeah, of course.
Did you see shows at the Wilbur?
Never.
Thank you for destroying my point.
And I never walked by it, and... No, but it's Boston, and it's like the place to play if you're a comedian in Boston now, and... They've made offers in the past, and I didn't feel like I was ready to sell enough tickets, and I feel like I am now. So hopefully,
through friends and family, you got to be halfway there. At least, right?
We are exactly halfway there with friends and family. That's the problem. We're the non-friends and family.
Said I've done stand-up and a show with Drew at the Wilbur Theater, and both in 2013. Huh.
And I've seen a live podcast there.
Oh, and a live podcast there. Oh, well, we're tired of that place. If you guys aren't, go see Orny Adams over there.
I love it because it's up on Ticketmaster. So most of my shows aren't, if I play a club, it's not on Ticket. You can't just keep refreshing and go, two more seats, four more seats.
Oh,
like someone on Twitter will go, "I just bought tickets for the Wilbur." And then I'll go check. I'll go, "Oh, yeah, they're there." Like, I know exactly where they're sitting. Like somebody, before it was even like, it's not sold out. There's still plenty of third balcony seats. Somebody bought the last two seats on the top. And I kind of want to do a documentary about these people. Like, why would they buy those seats?
Maybe it's the two old guys from the Muppets.
Stellar and Waldorf.
And they don't like your act. The thing, but I haven't done it in a long time, but in this vein, when you grow up with nothing and you're nobody, and then at some point they book you at the Moore Theater and you're like, "Oh, that's where Eddie Vedder and Even Flow and that whole video where he's like hanging off the scaffolding and stuff, like that's the theater." or the Wiltern Theater in your hometown, you go online and it's like weird little blue boxes for the seats that are sold and black boxes for the ones that are still available. And then you pretend like you want to see you. Like, oh, I want an orchestra seating for me. And then they go, tickets available. And you see big patches of open prairie and you go, oh, and then you check back in a week and they've filled in a little. And then there's always weird two little missing ones in the front. You're like, why did there one singlet in the front that nobody, right? And but you can see this mosaic start to fill in, and as you check, you go, oh, okay. And then there's a sort of Mason-Dixon line of, okay, we're now at a point where we'll not be humiliating.
Right.
Like, I won't make any money, it'll be uneventful, but I won't be humiliated with this number filled in this loge section.
Yeah, I was happy with, I mean, because it went on sale a couple of weeks ago, and this is in January, and I was pretty happy, but now it's sort of like, it's leveled off.
That's the other thing, too, is, well, let's a place hold 1,200 people, and then it went on sale in the first week, sold up 700 tickets in the first 2 weeks, and you go, great. And then you check back in 3 months, like you've sold 11 more tickets. And you're like, wait a minute. According to my math, I've sold 200,000 tickets by the time of the show. The people will be hanging from scaffolding outside windows.
No, they were the first hour. They were really excited the first hour. They had the number. They're like talking about adding a second show, you know. Now we're here.
If you think about human beings, it's kind of why should there be an avalanche 5 weeks in? It's going to be all the people get it the first couple of nights.
Then
now you got to go start doing the local radio and all that stuff. All right, let me say hi to Tommy John for this half of the show. TommyJohn.com/Adam. LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com. Enter Adam over there and check that out as well. Orny, you're a Boston guy. I know you grew up with or came up with guys like Bill Burr, who's killing it, and Dane Cook and Patrice O'Neill. Bill Burr's also one of these guys who I like him personally, but it's kind of nice to become the go-to guy, sort of like the radio head of bands, where people go, who are you listening to, or who do you like, or you're in a band, what other band? Oh, I like Radiohead. So people go, oh, good, he knows
he's
something.
Legit, yeah.
Bill Burr says, oh, yeah, I like Bill Burr. And then everyone goes,
Bill Burr says, I like Bill Burr?
Yeah, Bill Burr, I like Bill Burr. Well, he does a two-thumb point at himself. He doesn't actually audible.
I'm going to steal that move.
People go,
who what comics do you listen to? Orny Adams.
This guy.
Yeah, right. Who has two thumbs and loves Orny Adams?
Yeah. Right here.
No, I feel like he's funny, and I like him, but he also just becomes a sort of go-to answer for, oh, Bill Burr. Yeah, Bill Burr's funny. Like, we do that with bands. We do it with people. We just sort of
Louis
collectively.
Louis C.K. was there for a while.
Yeah, Louis C.K. was that. Again, it's like Radiohead. Radiohead is a good band, but also people like to say, oh, who am I into? Or who do I watch? Or what do I check out? I do that.
Radiohead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were mentored by Gary Shandling. How does that work?
Well, you know, it's interesting because after he died, I found out that he had mentored a lot of people. I thought I was sort of special, but it was like showing up at the funeral and you realize your dad had 15 other kids you didn't know about.
Right.
So, but Gary was, really amazing to me and very generous and really, really tough. So I tend to be really tough on younger comics that are asking me for advice. I don't mince words. I sort of, and that's what Gary did, and it really shaped who I am today.
How was he tough? Like he would call you out if you.
Well, he threatened to hit me with a stick once if I asked any more questions.
That's tough.
He said, I didn't hire you. We're writing for the Emmys, and I said, should I write about this topic? And he said, I'm going to hit you with a stick. Like the monks used to. He said, I didn't hire you to ask me questions. I hired you to write jokes.
Damn.
And all of his advice was right. Like, I remember when I was my first Tonight Show. I'd given my tape to the producers. This is when Jay was hosting. And the producers shot it down. And so I thought, this is ridiculous. This is a good tape. So I brought it to Gary. And I had put – this is back when you used to make your own DVDs. Remember you'd – I don't know if you were –
You burn your own.
Yeah, you burn your own and you could put a picture.
Sure. Yeah.
You made a menu. I put CCR behind it, you know.
Creedence.
Yeah. So I put Fortunate Son. So when the – so I bring it to Gary, right? And I can just picture, like, we put it in, and all of a sudden, and Gary goes, stop, lose the music. That's the first, before we even got into the set. And then he watched the set, and he said, this is as good as any set that, that's it. Yeah. Just picture Gary going, lose the music.
It's super important to be thinking about Vietnam when you're watching comedians audition cassettes, you know.
Anyway, so
was Gary a great comedian?
Amazing.
Okay, I'm setting this up a little bit.
That's fine. Or
you can finish. I have a thought that I'd like to get your thought because I've never met Gary Shandling.
Yeah. Well, before. And now you can't.
And now I can. And people ask me all weekend, did you ever meet Paul Newman with your Paul Newman race car stuff? I never have. They always then do the thing that always drives me nuts where they pause and they go, never met the man, huh? I think I was pretty clear when I say no.
No.
Ask me if I've ever met Yul Brynner. No. Okay, do we need to double back?
So you never met him?
Yeah.
No, the follow-up, never once.
Not once. Oh, yeah, there was this one time he anally raped me, but I'd forgotten all about it. But now that you, thank
John,
God you came back for a second helping of question here. I never met Gary Shandling. I saw stand-up specials that Judd Apatow did, not stand-up specials, documentaries and everything. I was always very impressed by stand-up. I was looking at something online and, you know, people tweeting or whatever, and somebody said, come see Tig Notaro at this whatever event. And then I was reading it down, and she's very celebrated, and it said, voted on Rolling Stone's top 50 comedians of all time, Tig Notaro. And I thought, that doesn't sound like the Tig Notaro I know, but all right. I think she's funny and everything, but I don't know, 50 greatest of all time. They're not like, you know, female comedians or the last decade or anything, just of all time. And I went to the list to see like who else was on the list, and a lot of the names you'd recognize and ones that might make you go meh. And then I scrolling down and I think Gary Shandling was number 45 and Tig was number 40.
Yeah,
and I
35.
thought 35, sorry, Gary was 40 and Tig was just five people funnier. And I thought, I bet he'd be pissed if he was alive, but I don't know. I mean, not a condemnation of Tig Notaro, more like a celebration of how incredibly prolific and magnificent Gary Shandling was.
But those lists are so ridiculous. I mean, what is it? One person making it? Is it two people making it? It's like award shows. I just can't take any of it.
It's got to be. Of course, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
and they've all become sort of politicized now as well.
Who's publicist is with who?
Feels very timely.
If there's a Me Too movement thing going on, or there's a Black Lives Matter thing, it'll get kind of, the deck will get shuffled.
Right. I'm waiting for Jew Comics Matter. I'm right up there. I'm number six on the list.
But I've never met Gary Shandling, but I just thought, I don't know, if I could reanimate him and show him the list.
Yeah.
Would he be happy for everyone who was ahead of him? Would he yell, there's no way Tig Notaro's five spots funnier than me? Like, what do you
think?
Could
depend on the day.
It would depend on day. Would he want to hit Tig with a stick?
No. He was very generous. He was very supportive. He was very supportive of other comedians.
Is that where you were going?
Twig Notaro.
Twig Notaro, thank you.
I think it just depends. Yeah.
All right. So you don't think? I think if I reanimate, he's going to find at least six people who are ahead of him on that list and not be thrilled.
Right. I'm sure. Comics have egos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a comic named Bill Burr. You ask Bill Burr who his favorite comedian is. Can you believe this?
Two thumbs in.
That's right. That's what I learned today on the Adam Carolla podcast.
Now, I like Bill Burr, and I like Tig Notaro as well. I'm simply presenting my case for the order of all time.
For how Gary Shandling would take it.
Those days in Boston, it was Bill, it was Dane, it was Gary Goldman, Patrice O'Neill. It was fun. It was comedy for the sake of comedy. And we were in it before these bringer shows. We didn't do open mics. We just worked every night. And we were amongst the Boston comics are amazing. The guys that were above us. And very fortunate. And I miss those days. It sucks now. All we do is promote.
I worked with Dane Cook doing Crank Yankers before he was Dane Cook. He was just a comedian who was doing crank calls. We had comedians you'd clearly heard of. And then there were weird rap stars and stuff like that. And then there was a group of comedians that maybe Orny had heard of at that stage of their career, but I hadn't. And Dane was one of them. And I did a recording session with him for like half a day in Vegas or something. And at some point, one of our writers, and Paul, said, hey, you're wearing a New York Yankees hat. And he said, yeah. And he said, I heard you're a Boston boy. What are you wearing a Yankees hat for? And he said, don't worry about it. And he left the room. And I thought, that wasn't that funny. But and then later on, the same guy did a, it could have been Kimmel's brother, or it could have been the same guy. Paul did a scissor legged fart. He was like laying on the floor and he kicked up his legs like he was breakdancing, did a scissor fart, like a full scissor fart. And Dane went, hey, dude, take that outside. And I thought, that's not funny either. But then I thought, he seemed wound a little tight to me.
Yeah.
A little serious.
Yeah.
Scissor fart. There should be flash dance too, called scissor fart. Would that be a fair depiction of Dane? Would Gary hit examples? Dane with a stick?
I don't, you know, I don't know Dane as well as I know Gary. So, yeah, and I haven't worked with him in that sense. So, you know, it's tough for me to say.
It's a yes.
It's affirmative.
Do you know why he might be wearing a Yankees hat?
That I don't know. He's very hardcore Boston. Most of the Boston guys are.
Probably lost a
I
bat,
felt
right?
It was a fair question from the guy who wanted to know why he was wearing it. If you ever saw Daniel Kellison wearing a Yankees hat, you'd have a lot of questions.
Somewhere in UCLA jersey.
I do remember when we were all in Boston, and I'm telling you, this is before you thought, what does your set say? Is there a message? Is this a development set? What are you wearing? You better lose weight. We were all in the back of like Nick's Comedy Stop, all of us just laughing and having a good time. And Dane would get up on stage and kill harder than anybody else, and he was doing all this physical Jurassic Park stuff, and it was amazing, and it was fun. And comedy has never been that fun since. New York, those years were amazing, but it was nothing like the Boston years. And I ran into Bill recently, and I said, you know, we had quite a class, our comedians, and Bill doesn't consider me in his class. He considers me the next class. And I don't know who's in the next class.
Well, Where do you draw the line? Where do you?
I think I'm in my own class. I don't think I have any friends, is what Bill was telling me, because I don't know where I fit in the Boston scene. But I don't know where I fit in the comedy scene. I don't know where I fit in. That's why I'm a comedian. You're not supposed to have a group. You're not supposed to have a clique.
Yeah. Right.
I don't get on stage and talk like that because I had friends growing up. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah. Although I had a lot of friends.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, whenever they talk about like what shaped the comedy mind, and they kind of go, well, you know, you're made fun of and you're picked on and you wanted to try to, you're getting bullied. I don't remember this weird logic where it's like, you're getting bullied, but if you make the guy laugh, he'd stop punching you. It's like, okay, you can peel off a few jokes when you're getting punched. Or like, you know, like, or also, I never really experienced a guy. I never had a guy start laughing and now said, all right, I'm going to put down this tire iron.
Well, I don't think I was picked on. I had friends, but I never like felt like I was really part of the group. But that's where I feel in life.
Adam's abuse was mostly home-based.
I think there's something, but I also think there's something to go to saying, or you can tell me if you agree with this or disagree with this. I think everyone has signed off on the musical ear. Like, though, they just sat down at the piano and they were able to teach themselves how to play it. Or a voice. I can't sing. Some people have a great voice, you know. And then there's the people even, she has a green thumb. She can garden, you know, or whatever. She's good cooking, or he's great with this, or with kids, or with whomever. Well, maybe you're just good with comedy. Maybe it's just that's your ear, you know, maybe like a musical ear. Maybe you have a comedic ear. And then at some point, you got to get paid for something. Why work at Albertson's stocking shelves? Why not stand up with a half-filled Wilbur Theater?
It's funny because I have thought.
That's coming on. It's
January 12th.
January 12th. And make half the people who could have been there laugh.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but I never felt like I was part of a group. So it doesn't surprise me. In high school, maybe college I did. Yeah, but... you know, it's funny because you're talking about your high school, and I have some stuff I pull from your yearbook that I had some questions about.
Please. Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's tease this. Let's tease this. Thank you. Boffing means farting, by the way.
True?
I hadn't heard that.
Does not mean screwing. Okay, if that's one of your questions. I do a scissor boff.
Yeah.
A boof where I throw my legs up and do a scissor boof only in front of Dane Cook. I do this move where I lay down on a folding chair and I tilt my head back and I pull a chain and a bucket of farts land on it.
Do you remember what's in your yearbook?
I couldn't.
Did you miss the deadline?
I couldn't afford a yearbook, so I rarely got. I got a yearbook my senior year of high school, and I couldn't fill out things in other people's yearbook because I couldn't spell.
No, but didn't you have like a quote underneath you or
a superlative?
Superlative.
I was class clown. Gearhead. I was class clown and on the varsity football team or whatever.
He wasn't quite as lonely as you were.
I wasn't lonely. I just didn't fit in.
It didn't have anything like a chess club or Madrinas Escudero Spanish club or whatever. It didn't have a bunch of that stuff. It was very un. We had a very lazy yearbook. The first thing we had is our yearbook title was called El Camino. One of our rivals in football was a high school called El Camino. It was just insane that our yearbook was named after another fucking high school up the street who we used to go try to kill in football every season. That I was immediately put off by that. Secondly, it was $12, a little rich for the Corolla's blood, and that's all I remember. First, let me tell you about Tommy John. Ooh, I'm wearing them right now. Close your eyes. Imagine yourself in your current underwear, unless you're driving, of course. Would you be proud of what you saw in the mirror? If the answer is no, then it's time for Tommy John. They obsess over every little detail, men and women's underwear. No wedgie guarantee. Stay put waistbands, feather light, breathable, moisture wicking fabrics. Women's underwear now fully back in stock. This stuff is just the best. I'm wearing them right now. You'll never go back to your former underpants. I can tell you that right now. If you don't like your first pair, you get a full refund with the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. This is the best. You get it. You exclusively use it. You will not go back to whatever you were wearing. It is always Tommy John. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to save 20% on your first order, plus free shipping and free returns on all dress shirt purchases. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right.
That was great. He did that live.
He's good.
Does it every
I wanted
day.
To interrupt you about four times. I go, don't interrupt the live read.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I knew. I knew.
Let's take a very quick break. We'll come back.
I'd rather not. We're going to put this to vote now.
Not a democracy.
We're not delaying a week.
We'll do the news with Orny right after that.
Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole. October 13th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Come on out and enjoy some endless rants, blended mangria cocktails, plus truckloads and truckloads of guacamole. The World Championship of Guacamole, October 13th. The event is free. You get to taste guacamole and vote for your favorite. And hear live music from Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Think your guac has what it takes to take home the championship belt? Only 50 entries are available, so hurry. Get your registration form now at officialwcog.com. That's officialwcog.com. The World Championship of Guacamole is coming. Guactober 13th at Sea Legs.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So, Lindsay Lohan got punched in the face after accusing Syrian refugees of trafficking their children. I don't know if you saw this video. Lindsay filmed herself confronting the family in Moscow Friday. Lindsay then accused the parents while she was filming them of trafficking the kids and later saying, "You're ruining Arabic culture." When Lohan tried to grab one of the children, the mother apparently attacked her. You can't totally see it, but you get the vibe. So I pulled two clips. Here's a couple clips from the incident. Here, she's following the family and saying some things in English, some things presumably in Arabic.
Is this part of her new show?
No, this was just her on Instagram video, like Instagram Live.
I always sound naive, but is this a drug-related thing?
It seems there's been talk of she perhaps is off something.
Oh.
So that might be a good Dr. Drew question.
Mm-hmm.
You're going the wrong way. My car's here. Cut.
Great quality.
Yeah. Look what's happening. They're trafficking children. I won't leave until I take you.
She has a Russian accent now.
Now I know who you are.
What's the trafficking of
Don't
children?
Don't fuck with me.
There's a Syrian sort of refugee family. They're walking with their suitcases, and they have two small children with them. Mm-hmm. So she's following them and accusing them of trafficking the children, that they're not their children. Mm. Come with me. Get in my car. I'm not going to leave you.
My thing is, I don't want to sell my kids into slavery, but I would lease them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
She wanted them for a night. She asked initially just for one night.
A decent take family. Them for a
night. Yeah. You'd retain ownership, but, you know.
With those
yeah.
Come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then she's following them through the park, and things heat up.
She spoke to them in an accent.
She
but
did.
Still speaking
she
English.
She did. And now they're in a park, and Mama turns around and takes a swing.
She needs to get together with Steven Seagal, right? Don't you feel like they need to couple up?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
The ultimate international power couple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know how there's the IHOP for pancakes?
Right.
That this would be that for power crazy couples, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, guys, not too sure why we're mocking her efforts here.
That's a good point.
She's a humanitarian.
Her heart's in the right place.
Right.
So watch this.
Oh, hey,
Mom hits her in the face, apparently.
That's
Lindsay.
I feel like Arabic women are either the quietest people or the loudest people, depending on what's going on.
I'm like in shock right now.
She got punched.
Yeah.
She was a mean girl.
And they were drunk. And
does she look like Michael Jackson
so
a little?
So she's so scared that she was following this seemingly homeless family threatening to take their children.
I feel like Arabic women don't have a dimmer switch. They're either off or they're on. It's either walking behind the dude with something over their head, not saying a word, or just at a funeral, just wailing and throwing themselves into the grave. Like, they don't have like a middle. You know how like cockroaches either don't move or run 1,000 miles an hour, but you don't see cockroaches jog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way with Arab women.
Did you have to use cockroaches?
Oh,
yeah,
you're right.
You might get
You know, you see rats.
It's getting worse. How about flamingos?
Bunnies.
Yeah. Peacocks. Mm.
They don't soldier.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They scurry.
All right,
unicorns.
All right. Really ugly, dirty bunnies. Brown, ugly, dirty, horrible, horrible terrorist bunnies. Okay. Right. You notice that you either see them sitting in one place or taking off.
Yeah.
Next story.
Next.
Okay. Sorry.
Do you get a lot of shit sometimes from things you say?
Hell no.
Not that I'm encouraging people to write in, perhaps, that you went into a cockroach story.
I have given this some thought, and I've realized that at a certain point, you transcend being a comedian or a podcaster or a commentator, and you just become this person. Like, I always kind of use Snoop Dogg as an example. Snoop Dogg gets to smoke pot wherever he wants. It's Snoop Dogg.
Right.
You expect it from Snoop Dogg. I'm not saying I'm the Snoop Dogg of controversy, but Howard Stern at a certain point can say whatever he wants because he's Howard Stern, Snoop Dogg, and Charles Barkley, whatever. At a certain point, I say so much shit that people just go, oh, it's him.
Yeah.
If somebody said, someone on the left or on the right said the shit I say, then they would probably be attacked.
Right.
Certainly a politician or something.
What a great place
like
to
that.
Be, huh? Isn't it?
Yeah, nobody caring.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You should hope one day you get to a level where nobody gives a shit about anything you say.
Well, no, I think that, like you said, you've reached a point where people just respect you as who you are. And they go, that's because it's most of these things, it's where the mind goes. So it's interesting to hear it.
You know, I am telling people what I think about everything that goes down based on my experiences.
Yeah.
And sharing your thoughts on something, especially if you're trying to do it for comedic effect and it has no outcome or effect on the people you're talking about, should always be welcome news to anyone who
but you
has
have to
ears.
Be so like sort of cognizant and sort of like aware and balanced. What are people going to think at all times at everything you say if it's taken out of context? In the world, it's insane. The sensitive. I'm in Maine.
Yes.
I'm in Maine. This goes back to like, to me, this is the craziest thing that they're taking the straws away from us.
Right.
The straw. Did you ever think in our lifetime, the straw, do you see what the straw comes in?
The plastic straw.
It's in a plastic cup with a plastic lid. That's got to go. That can stay, but the straw's got to go. The straw's got to go. Like, it's just the symbolism, right? I was in Maine. I'm eating at a restaurant. Right? I get an iced tea. Mm-hmm. And I call the waiter back. I go, hey, can I get a straw? And the waiter goes, we don't give out straws anymore. I go, what?
Right.
Yeah, they're didn't you hear? They're killing the fish.
Right.
I go, you know what's probably killing more fish? Fishing.
Yeah.
We're Japanese, in Maine.
Middle-aged Japanese guys.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
We're in a fish restaurant.
Yes.
I look around. Everybody's eating fish. All the fish is dead.
Yeah.
I go, that fish is dead. That fish is dead. But I can't have a straw?
Yeah, well, this is the other thing we're doing, which is there's lots of, like, symbolic battles going on, which is I am not down with plastic and oceans and plastic and all that kind of stuff. But the straw is way down on the list of ways to solve this.
It's 4% of the plastic waste.
It's 4% of the plastic waste.
Yeah, I did the research. So, I'm with you. Oh, yeah. You got to be ready to defend yourself.
No, I was saying we're living in a world that is filled with symbolism. Now, everything is symbolic. And if you live in a world where you want to solve problems or cure problems or do some things, living in a symbolic world doesn't ever really get anything solved.
That's what I'm saying. So here you want to joke about that.
But it satiates. I don't like it because you take your foot off the accelerator of solving a problem by the symbolic satiation of the plastic straw. Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
So are you into the straw or not?
Here's what I'm into. I'm into a little or a lot. Like when I interviewed Al Gore, I'm not into the movement. My whole house is filled with LED bulbs because they last longer, they throw off less heat, and I have to change them less often, and it makes sense to me. What I don't like is when people get preachy, you know, when the city of Los Angeles says we live in a drought region and starts getting preachy about hosing off your driveway and then runs the sprinklers on the side of the freeway when it's raining outside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the hypocrisy. If you want to save, I'm with you. And my thing is incentivize everybody. If you really want people to have solar, I mean, I can't tell you how many. It's 2018. I'm a nut about building houses and remodeling houses. I've had a million solar conversations. They go like, the city of LA used to have a tax rebate on solar, but all the vouchers are gone now, so they're no longer offering that thing anymore. They're building a fucking bullet train to nowhere to the tune of billions of dollars, but there is no incentive for people to get solar, you know, or recapture gray water or whatever all these things are. I mean, if you go talk to somebody in LA where you go, look, I'd like a house that when it rained, that the water went off the roof and went to the gutter and was captured in a barrel, and we could use that water to cultivate and irrigate the plant life around. And they'd go, fine, but LA won't let you do that. You have to have a cistern and a pump and a filter and a double hole thing and so much regulation and bureaucrats, and they don't let you do it. So they tell you, here's what we'd like. We'd like to get rid of these straws. And then you go, what about all this water that's just going into the ocean? We're not capturing any of it. Well, we don't.
Leave it to the experts.
Not for that.
Yeah. Right.
Don't
worry about it. That's my point. Thank you.
Okay.
And put my.
Well done.
Good point. Do you have a wife you'd like me to argue with?
No, I'm just, I'm glad I set you off. I'm just saying. So you have this symbolism, and as a comedian, you want to point out the absurdities of it. And I hope that doesn't get lost in the discussion that's going on now. And I'm all for the oceans and saving. Although, how about this as a counter argument, which I bet is completely nonsense. But right now, where do we put all our trash?
Landfills.
Where do we live?
On the land.
What's the earth? What, 90% ocean? I mean,
70 or something.
Oh, wow. I see where you're going with this.
Right. Makes sense.
Right? So let's hear your
sink it.
Let's go, Adam.
So
let's go.
What Orny's saying is where do you put your trash? In your backyard or your neighbor's pool?
Yes.
And the answer is clearly your neighbor's pool.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. I think you summarized it nicely. Yes, I agree.
But you know the reason why, the only reason we're banning straws is because somebody found a
turtle
with a straw in its nose.
Yeah.
Pretty bad code problem.
Yeah. I thought it. I thought it looked pretty good, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a good look for the turtle.
Maybe he's trying to float on his back and he wants to breathe. Yeah. Or maybe he wants to go in without being discovered
but
by the guards.
We kill fish every day. I turn my straw into a fishing hook and I have fish now. How about that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and also, there is a part two as to why doesn't Adam Carolla get more shit? Because I'll tell you, just go fuck yourself. And the people that demand apologies get hooked on apologies and it becomes their sort of drug of choice. Yeah. And so they can't go through their life without getting people to apologize. And so if I go, hey, Gina Grad, yeah, you owe me an apology because of the way you made me feel. And you go, oh, I'm so sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'll go, oh, good. She's on my list of people I can go to and get a fucking apology. I'll get a hit of apology when I need a fix of apology. I'll go to her.
And you know you're never getting this phone call. You're never getting the, Adam, we need to talk. Remember you went from Arabic women and into cockroaches? Well,
when they realize
Tommy John's is pulling a sponsorship.
When you're not in the apology business, you get off their list.
Yeah.
They go for the people who
here's the other thing. You believe in what you're saying, and there's some intelligence behind it. And when you have those things, sometimes it makes people listen more. I just saw the look in your eye when I said intelligence. Yeah. It just, they went back like I punched you. Like, what
I'm
is
trying
this
not
guy
to think
doing?
There's intelligence. Let me tell you what's intelligent. Life Lock. That's what I want to say. Watch
Don't
out.
Interrupt the live read.
Cyber scams. Centered on Hurricane Florence. Oh, it's so sad. Use caution with any email containing a subject line attachment, a hyperlink related to the hurricane. Scammers are also using social media and unsolicited texts. This is sad when people take a natural disaster like this and try to tap into it and get your money. I don't like it. LifeLock doesn't like it. There's so many threats out there in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. Let's take care of business. Let's get LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
Did it twice. Okay. What else you got, Gina Graham?
Well, Matt Damon is getting headlines after portraying Judge Brett Kavanaugh on SNL over the weekend and maybe getting himself a little goodwill back from the Me Too movement. Here's a one-minute clip from the 13-minute cold open where Damon, as Kavanaugh, defends himself against assault allegations from his high school days.
It really is an interesting thing when good actors or impressionists or mimics can start looking like the person almost by, I've always said, like, it's, I'm always impressed the people who can do the spot on sort of audible version of somebody, but when their face takes their face on the shape of the person, it's
Baldwin.
Like, where did you get both those things? Yeah. Why is your face? I get the part where you can parrot back or do some sort of tonal sound. Like, there's a part of your brain that goes, I heard it, I will reproduce it.
But you know how some, the essence.
But how does your face start taking on that shape?
I think it's subliminally part of it because, like, we've had great impressionists here, Kevin Pollak and Jay Moore and right back in the radio days, Frank Caliendo. Their face will contort to the person they're doing, whether it's Colin Quinn or Jack Nicholson
I
or whoever.
I also think they can part of the audible part is the physical part of the face.
Mouth,
you know,
placement.
I mean, Richard Nixon, you know, like their face drops down and then they start sounding,
Colin,
or it's both.
Colin
but anyway.
Quinn's the best example.
Yeah, yeah. He's just to look Jay around Moore, like Colin Quinn.
Yes.
You ever see Gilbert Godfrey do Andrew Dice Clay? Have you seen it?
No.
Have you seen it? You got to pull that up. You got just.
I only want to see that
it's
now.
It's one of the most amazing impressions.
Right. Yeah, really so is. Matt. Just became Kavanaugh.
Yeah, so here's a very short clip.
I mean, physically just looked like him, right?
Yeah.
You didn't even know what you're... If he's just turned it on, you wouldn't really even know.
Yeah.
Now, I am usually an optimist. I'm a keg is half full kind of guy. But what I've seen from the monsters on this committee makes me want to puke and not from beer. Dr. Ford has no evidence. None. Meanwhile, I've got these. I've got these calendars.
All right, you can hold it up because we're running late. I want to know. We'll get into this. I'll give you my Dr. Ford and Kavanaugh take soon.
Can I tell you the best line from this?
I watch it. I know it, but you can say it anyway. Go ahead. Tell the audience.
It's funnier if you say it now. But when he said, you know, how he perseveres and in the face of adversity, and he says, I don't know the meaning of the word stop.
Yeah, it was weird because it didn't get a laugh.
But it was the best line of the whole thing.
It's what you're up against when you do comedy because it's like, that is a great line. Yeah. And the audience either didn't get it or got a little uncomfortable with it or something. But that's the best line in there. Funny. Got the least of the laughs. What I was trying to figure out is Kavanaugh has a little bit of that thing where your eyebrow comes down and it creates a little jaw crease on top of your bridge of your nose. And I was thinking, was he doing that? Is that added? I saw it's a distinctive sort of facial thing. You can get it, but I don't know that I could get it by moving my eyes a certain way. Did Matt Damon have that added?
That's interesting.
Or did he just create that? In which case, he should get a Emmy for this appearance.
Best brow acting.
We'll see if there were any prosthetics, or was it just put a little gray in the hair, and probably didn't even need to put a little gray in the hair, just sort of style the hair that way. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Anally, you'd know.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castrol Edge, once again, our good friends over at Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, all stuff you want to avoid, but it's inevitable. That's why you need Castrol Edge. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading. Three times, I tell you, than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. I got it. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. And last but not least, Simply Safe. Looking for a home security system. It can be a pain. Not with Simply Safe. Go online, set up your system, shows up your door, up in under an hour, easy to use, peel and stick, no pulling wires, and batteries last up to 10 years. Go to Simply, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam and tell him I said hi.
That was like a gerbil button. When I didn't get it, I got very anxious.
What is the drop? Can I hear it? Don't interrupt the live read. Is that me?
Yeah.
That's you. I was...
You mean like I'm part of the show now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, right? Is that...
Yeah. No.
Congratulations.
It is.
Being a part of the show is not a big deal, trust me.
Not to us, but to others.
Yeah, it feels like, to me, it feels like... I actually feel like I'm part of a group. It actually brings everything back...
You're healed.
Did Matt Damon get any kind of prosthetic anything, or did he just sort of create that with his by furling his brow that way?
It's not looking like there's any prosthetics, so
that's a little line.
I know. Well, that means somebody's good at their job.
But usually you can see. Like, I mean, SNL's not
great. Well, I got to tell you, what they're doing with the female, like, can't recall her name. They always doing the male senators and
Kate McKinnon.
What they're doing with her is amazing. Yeah. I'm not seeing like stick on or spirit glue or gum or it's like it's just there now, right?
I mean, certainly possible. It would be easy, I would imagine, for a good makeup artist to do that.
Pretty damn good. All right. San Mateo coming up for me, San Mateo County Event Center. That's October 14th. That's the Real Estate Wealth Expo, Los Angeles at Politicon. We're going to do a No Safe Spaces panel with Clay Aiken, who I did
the best sentence.
Celebrity
apprentice
with. And I've said it before, I was more impressed by him than anybody I'd worked with. I was blown away.
You know,
Clay
I hear that
Aiken
from a lot of people.
About Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
He's totally impressive. Totally impressive. Insanely impressive.
I understand we're ignoring my request for Gilbert Godfrey doing Andrew Dice
we're
Clay.
Just and
I
late.
I respect, and I respect that. But I do encourage everybody to go on YouTube and watch this.
Yes. Make it your own little journey. Make it an intimate journey.
It's just fun to laugh.
Celebrate privately.
Phoenix stand-up live, doing base cable commentary October 27th, and the Anaheim Grove out up there doing a live show with Rob Riggle.
Oh, he's great.
Also, Susie Schuster is out there. She's the co-host of the official Lakers podcast on Podcast One Sportsnet. You can check that out, too. I just did an episode of hers, so... check that out. And he's getting like Shaq and Magic Johnson, LeBron James. I mean, come on. He's killing it out there. So, until next time. And go to OrnieAdams.com for all the dates, including the improv out here in Irvine in the Wilbur Theater. Until next time. Adam Carolla for Ornie Adams. Gina Grad and Bull Bryan saying mahalo. I was blessed with an okay mind, but an incredible ass.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. And don't forget, Carolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole. Enter your guac at officialwcog.com. There's a $1,000 prize in a heavyweight championship belt, plus live music with Loxy and the Smoking Kills. That is Gloctober 13th. The Ace Man's in Phoenix, October 27th, with Mike August for two basic cable commentary shows. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, the Mangry events, the books, the movies, the more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.